preparation for revival. It's one of my favorite psalms. And what the Lord has laid on my heart, we got a lot of breaks in this. We got guest speakers and this and that. But what the Lord has laid on my heart on Sunday evening to share some short exhortations from the first two verses of Psalm 63, and then to give us as a church time to pray about these things. This isn't a exposition of the psalm. It's not even what you could call a sermon. But I just want to begin to share some things for us to pray about. Things that God wants to do. Things to expect God to do in our midst. And you can go ahead and remain seated, but I want to read this. In fact, I would like for you to read it in unison with me, these first two verses. Amen. Could you read these in unison with me? This is a personalized thing. The psalmist has personalized it. First person, my God, I. And so if you read it, you'll be able to personalize it tonight. Let's read it together. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. What the Lord has laid on my heart is for us to begin to seek and expect as we have seen. As we have seen. And that's going to be the overarching thought the Sunday nights I share from this. As we have seen. The psalmist said, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. How many has seen God do some things in the sanctuary? As we have seen. And what I want to talk to tonight about, one of the things that we have seen, as we have seen the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many can say you have seen it in your own life or the life of someone else? You have seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about as we have seen. I went to the hospital yesterday and the gentleman, the volunteer, and I'm just telling you this so you'll understand his comment, but he was a black gentleman and he was up in years, and as I was signing the clergy book, he said, what church do you pastor? And I said, Union Pentecostal Church. And he said, Pentecostal. He said, huh? Pentecostal. I said, yeah, Pentecostal. He said, well, do you teach for those young men to keep their baggy britches pulled up? I looked at him, I said, I don't believe I've preached that, just a whole message on that. He said, you need to. But I hope in a Pentecostal church we hear, that's all right. If you want to preach on it, Brother Brian, I'll give you the prerogative. But I hope I preach on some things about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a Pentecostal church. Things we have seen. Amen. You know, sometimes I understand the young people getting a little disturbed because they say, you know, the old timers, and they're, when a young person says old timer, they're talking about someone in the 30s on up. The old timers are always talking about what they've seen, you know, God do, and seen in youth camp, and seen in the altars, and seen in revival. Well, I want to tell you, that's not all bad. We don't want to live in the past. But the past does give us an example of what God can do. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, we look at the past and it's a precedent of what we can pursue. It stimulates our hunger and our thirst for God to do it again. And the psalmist said, oh, I want to see your power and your glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The psalmist said, I'm not stuck in the past. Oh, but what he has done. I want to see him do it again. I'm longing for that. I'm hungry for that. Oh, I've seen some moves of God. I've seen what the presence of God can do. I've seen how God can draw. I've seen how God can turn a life around. I've seen what God can do in my own life. And what I have seen, oh God, I'm hungry for you to do again. Oh, how many can say you've seen some things. Hallelujah. So we're not stuck in the past. We're just having a desire for God to do it again. Hallelujah. I appreciate the stir in the young people. Amen. And the choir appreciates. I'm taking them all in there, the young people. Amen. But he said, early will I seek thee. That doesn't have to mean just early in the morning. And that's good. But I believe it can mean in your lifetime. Oh, early will I seek thee. Amen. I hunger for thee. I thirst for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Brother Dell, I thought this afternoon you can boil that whole two verses down to that phrase, thee in the sanctuary, thee in the sanctuary. I'm telling you, the greatest need of the church in 2010 is to have God in the sanctuary, God in the sanctuary. Oh, we can have a whole lot of things, and some of them good. We can have a lot of things in the sanctuary, a lot of things going on, a lot of things in the sanctuary. I'm telling you what we need more than anything. We need God in the sanctuary. When the sinner walks in, God in the sanctuary. When the backslider comes in, God in the sanctuary. When the weary steps in, God in the sanctuary. Oh, I'm telling you, those that need deliverance, when they walk through the doors, it's God in the sanctuary. Oh, how many's thirsty and hungry? Amen. For God in the sanctuary. I believe he's in the sanctuary tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, God in the sanctuary. Thee in the sanctuary. God at work. God speaking. God being experienced. God being encountered. But he said, I've got this desire in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. And I won't elaborate on that. But I'm telling you spiritually, how many knows we're in a dry and a thirsty land? Your workplace is a dry and thirsty land. Your neighborhood is a dry, thirsty land. America is a dry and a thirsty land. And for some, their home is a dry and thirsty land. But I want to tell you, when the land is dried up, it's not time for you to be dried up. I said, when the land around you is barren and baked, it's not time for you to be barren and baked. I'm telling you, the drier the land gets, the more thirsty we ought to get. I said, the drier the land gets, the more thirsty we ought to get. Oh, hallelujah. As my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and a thirsty land, no water is. And I want to tell you, the water's not there. The water's in the sanctuary. And I laid that as a basis, and I'm going to be done in a few moments. But I want to tell you, that's why the psalmist said, I want to see your work, God. I want to see your power as I have seen in the sanctuary. One of the ways I have seen the Lord in the sanctuary is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know I've told this several times, my own experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know we told it several times. That's how you remember things. You just hear them over and over. But I was 7 years old. Our church was about this wide. But all the way across, they had a rock planter about this high. To get to the pulpit, you had to walk around to the butt end of the thing, the end of the thing, and get around. Later years, they busted out there, but it was all the way across. Well, my dad, the men prayed on this side, the women on that. My dad always took us two boys to the altar with him, and he always prayed around back on this end of the platform, about right over here. Of course, he had to pray between us, you know, two boys, young boys there, praying between us. I'll never forget that night, 7 years old. I got down there. My dad, that shy guy that he is, he began to weep in the altar. He lifted his hands, tears running out of his eyes, down across his cheeks. And it wasn't long till he was speaking another tongue. Oh, I can still remember the glow on his face. And I thought at 7, I want that. And I began to pray, and I began to worship God. Don't ever underestimate what God is doing in a child. Because this experience has been a mainstay in my life. And it's real to tonight. 7 years old, I said, I begin to pray and to seek God. And I was baptized in the Holy Ghost that evening. I got to thinking about it, Sister Crispin, and here's the point. Up to that point, I don't remember anyone teaching on the Holy Ghost. Now, we need it. I'm not minimizing that, but I don't remember anyone teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Up to that point, I don't remember one sermon on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I did remember and notice when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was being modeled and was happening in the altars. I don't remember the teacher teaching on it, but I saw my dad with the Holy Ghost flowing out of him. Listen, we need good teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need it in the Sunday school room. We need it out here. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing we need is for these young people to see it modeled. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about to see it occurring in people's lives, out in the congregation and around the altars. Some of them need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The greatest thing that can happen to them isn't just this message tonight, but to be in the altar beside a mom or a dad tonight, and all of a sudden that young person sees someone, a mom, a dad, a grandpa, a grandma, with their hands in the air and the Holy Ghost flowing out of them, baptized fresh in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hungry to see it? Not as a rare thing that happens at the periodic youth camps and youth conferences, but something that happens in regularity around these altars. Oh, I'm not preaching and teaching tonight, or I would go into why it's a real experience and why it's biblical. I'm just telling us tonight, we need to desire that. The second thing that occurred to me wasn't that it was modeled in front of me, but it was the encouragement that I had. Amen. I don't know when it occurred to her, but all I know is I hadn't had my little hands up long, hadn't been praying long, till Sister Buford had spotted me. And here she was right beside me. Now, Clifford, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Praise him, Clifford. Praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, love him. Love him, son. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, she was encouraging me. Amen. She never told me anything about tongues. She didn't say, now seek tongues. She didn't say, say this. I've been around places in the altar. Amen. Someone was telling someone seeking for the Holy Ghost, now say this, talk baby talk, talk gibberish. None of that. She never mentioned anything about tongues. She just said, praise Jesus and love Jesus. And Sister Brock, it happened. Suddenly he filled me up, and I began to feel something coming from my innermost being and begin to speak with other tongues. Oh, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, as I have seen thee in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many's hungry for that tonight? Oh, he wants to do it again. Hallelujah. I knew at that moment, at 7 years old, that God was at work. I'm telling you, I knew that when God was in the sanctuary, the Spirit moved in people. And I also knew when the Spirit moved in people, God was in the sanctuary. You say, we don't want to get in a field into something strange. No, I'm not preaching that tonight. But what we want to see is what we see in the book. Hallelujah. Oh, I know I'm talking about what we've seen in our past. But what I'm really saying is we want to see what we see in the book. Hallelujah. How many believes it's in the book? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed like tongues like as fire. And it sent down upon each of them. Oh. Oh, hallelujah. That mass of flame began to divide and go here and here and here and here. And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave utterance. I read this week that was just for them. No, sir, because Peter stood and said, the promise is unto you and unto your children and as many as afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, worship him. Hallelujah. Gentiles gathered by the instruction of the angel waiting for Peter to get there. Peter walked in, the house was full. Cornelius was having a friend and family day. Cornelius said, we're all here waiting to hear from you. Peter looked around, said, they're expecting something. I perceive God as no respecter of persons. And Peter began to preach Jesus. I still believe that's the greatest message to preach. Both sides gets caught in the trap about preaching a lot of other things. One's got to falls in the trap about preaching faith and prosperity. The other falls in the trap of preaching tradition and man-made things. Hallelujah. Either one of them is a trap. I believe we preach Jesus, we get the rest of it with Christ. And he was preaching Jesus. And the Bible said, as he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. And they began to speak with other tongues. And the support group Peter brought with him, the Jews that entered that Gentile house with Peter, when they looked out there and saw those Gentiles speaking in tongues, they knew, number one, that they had just got saved prior to that by hearing the word. But number two, their mouths gaped open. And here's what they said. Why? These Gentiles are receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues as we did in the beginning. In other words, they said, we're seeing it again. We're seeing it. We thought it was just for us. Oh, but we're seeing it. Oh, what he did for the Jews, he's doing it for the Gentiles. We're seeing it again. Oh, I believe we're going to see it, Brother and Sister Rose. I believe we're going to see it, Brother and Sister Brock. I believe we're going to see it in our youth. And we're going to go, that's like it was with us. I'm not talking about living in the past. I'm talking about seeing what they saw. Seeing what they saw, they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm through, but just one more thing. That was a biblical illustration. Amen. We had a young man in our church from a Baptist church. It could have been another kind of church. But he married a young lady out of our church, and they were backslidden away from God. They got saved on a Mother's Day. He had went to a church that taught that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues was of the devil. But I never forget the revival night. We had a middle aisle. He'd been taught that all his life. He was a quiet man. Amen. A shy person. Taught that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues was of the devil. But I was standing right there when he came down that middle aisle, got in front of the pulpit, shut his eyes, lifted up his hands. And I'm telling you, it was just moments. He went over like a tree that was felled and hit the ground on his back. And when his back hit the ground, he was speaking with other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've made this a hard thing. All we're doing is claiming the promise of God. I'm sure of one thing. He wants to baptize folks with the Holy Ghost more than they want to receive it. Hallelujah. You don't even have to wait till you get to the altar tonight. You can be like those in Cornelius' household. Amen. You can receive it right there where you sit tonight. Oh, you won't be sitting long maybe, but you can receive it right there. You can reach. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land to see thy power and thy glory. We've seen enough of man. We've seen enough of the flesh. We've seen enough of show. We've seen enough of talent. Amen. We need to see his power and his glory as we have seen it in the sanctuary. Would you praise him across the building? Oh, hallelujah. All right. Whatever else we have, we'll rearrange it next Sunday night. Ushers, you go ahead and come. Choir's coming to sing. And when the choir, you can tell, when the choir's finishing their song, if you have a desire to see what you have seen in the sanctuary, in particular, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the choir is getting towards the finish, you come to these altars and say, my soul thirsteth for thee. We're not talking about religion, not talking about doctrine. We're talking about Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Just go ahead and begin to receive the offering. Come ahead.
The choir doesn't know I just did this. but I'm changing songs on them. I had this on my heart last night when I went to bed, and I don't want to offend anybody, Brother Keith. I didn't ask you if this was okay, but I had this on my heart as I went to sleep last night, and it got confirmed when Brother Hurst started preaching. He'll do it again. Hallelujah. I don't want to be offensive to anybody. I just pray that the Lord will just use this song and minister to people. I've never sang this song before, but I feel like this is just what we need to sing. Just worship with us as we sing.
Down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again He'll take care of you.
Call.
just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego,
and he'll do it again. Oh, he'll do it again. Oh, just take a look at where you are now, and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through? Worship the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.